Is it recording?
Okay, so I have Beckman Porter up first. I don't see him here.
I haven't heard from him.
Are we getting him on, huh?
I haven't heard from him.
Well, then we want to do him second. Then let's do, 1926 first. All right. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Julie Mayer, DVM. In case number 2226, this matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given in ARS 322234. Dr. Mayer, please come forward and introduce yourself and your attorney if represented by counsel. And correct me if I'm not pronouncing that right.
Maher. I'm Julie Maher.
Maher.
Yeah.
Maher.
And David Stoll appearing as legal counsel for Dr. Maher.
Thank you. See if I can do that right there. Dr. Maher, you have received a letter informing you of matters to be discussed today and possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you and placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We'll begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you'll be given the opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Nosley, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes, in 2226. On September 1st, 2021, Sadie, a 12-year-old female Labrador mix, was presented to Dr. McWhirter due to lethargy, increased thirst, anorexia, and vomiting. The dog was examined by Dr. McWhirter, recommended blood work, and administered the dog Depo-Medrol, and the dog was discharged. On September 3rd, blood was collected for testing. On September 4th, Dr. Maher contacted the pet owner with the blood results. She reported the dog had an infection and possibly cancer. She recommended starting the dog on antibiotics and having an abdominal ultrasound. On September 8th, the dog had an abdominal ultrasound performed and was diagnosed with a pyometra. Surgery was performed. That evening, the dog was transferred to an emergency facility for continued care and monitoring of persistent hyperglycemia.
Dr. Maher, at this time, I'd like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
We would now like to give you the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Okay. All right, thank you so much for being here. The owner presented Sadie to Dr. McWhorter on September 1st, 2022. I wasn't present that day. I wasn't involved with the veterinary care recommended by Dr. McWhorter, which included a depomedrol injection. The owner declined blood work during the exam on September 1st and requested an estimate. The owners returned voluntarily for lab work on September 3rd. At that time, they did not request a recheck exam. Sadie was not seen by a doctor that day, but I assume they returned because her symptoms weren't improving. I worked at Casa Grande Animal Hospital the following day, Saturday, September 4th. In addition to seeing patients that day, I called pet owners to convey completed lab work for my patients, as well as for those of five other doctors, such as Dr. McWhorter, who wasn't on duty that day. For the record, I haven't ever seen or examined Sadie, and my involvement in the case is limited to the single 3 to 5 minute phone call where I called that Saturday to provide the blood work results to the owner. With regard to my phone call on September 4th, none of the information I conveyed to the owner was incomplete, inaccurate, or misleading. I therefore failed to see how I violated the Veterinary Practice Act. As I always do when calling with lab results, I reviewed the patient chart prior to calling the owner. I have a specific recollection of my pre-call review in this case because of the severely elevated white blood cell count and the presence of metamyelocytes noted on the bottom underneath the CBC. It stood out because I've never seen metamyelocytes reported before to me. My immediate concerns were a severe infection, such as sepsis or a cancerous process, which I noted in the medical record. I specifically discussed these concerns with the owner during our conversation. I believe I asked the owner if she could bring Sadie in that Saturday, and she said she didn't have enough help. In the absence of giving Sadie intravenous antibiotics and hands-on care, I prescribed the most powerful combination of antibiotics that I had ready access to, which was Baytril and Amoxiclav, hoping it would provide some benefit for the pet until they could be seen, either by another doctor or by an ultrasound. I was trying to keep the pet alive. I also recommended that Sadie have an abdominal ultrasound. By the end of our conversation, the owner appeared to me to fully understand the gravity of these lab results and the need for immediate follow-up care. I don't feel I was negligent in either identifying the possibility of a life-threatening illness or in conveying the seriousness of Sadie's condition to the owner. I didn't return to the practice until the following Wednesday. I was working Wednesday through Saturday during that time. Dr. McWhorter was awaiting additional lab results that would be coming in my absence. I anticipated he would review them and make the appropriate recommendations at that time. Sadie was presented on September 7th, I believe, for subcutaneous fluids. Again, I don't believe I inappropriately conveyed a lack of seriousness of the lab results to the owner. I don't feel I did anything in connection with this phone call that fell below the standard of care. And I'm available for any questions.
Thank you. I'd now like to ask the board members if they have any questions. Dr. Maher.
Yes, thank you for coming in. Yeah. Regarding the client communication on the 4th, I think that was a Saturday.
Yes.
And you were charged with reviewing the labs and then consulting with the owner and then calling.
Yes.
That was okay. You started the conversation, according to the complaint, with a comment about never liking to give a client bad news.
Okay.
My question is this something you would routinely do when there are significant abnormalities, regardless of the underlying disease?
I'm always sorry to give an owner news that their pet is severely ill. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news. So I wouldn't say that I routinely say it, but I do sometimes say it.
Okay. In that conversation, there seems to be a significant difference between you and the client regarding whether the most likely tentative diagnosis is cancer or infection.
Okay.
So can you speak to this difference and how that might have occurred?
Could I just point out something? I don't believe that the complaint in this case is the owner or the person that she talked to during the phone conversation.
Okay.
So I just want everyone to know that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Right, I talked about massive infection because that's what the elevated white blood cell count said to me, and the presence of bands and metamyelocytes. But I was also very concerned about cancer. And I don't think there's a more serious thing that you can say to an owner than the word cancer. I try to use that word sparingly because it's very upsetting to the owner. So I wanted to convey the seriousness of what I thought the pet's condition was. And I think the owner may have focused on the word cancer rather than on possibility of an infection. But I felt that I presented them equally, but I don't know what the owner heard.
Have you ever seen or researched or studied in school a case of leukemia involving the neutrophils? And only the neutrophils?
No, I don't have it. I haven't.
Okay. And that's what we have. That was our CDC analysis.
The metamyelocytes are they're an immature form of neutrophil.
Younger than bands?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But I guess my question is, in putting cancer on your differential, I was just asking if you had ever had a case of a leukemia involving neutrophils.
I've never had a case of leukemia involving neutrophils. I have seen pets with other kinds of cancer who had a hemoabdomen or a uroabdomen that had severely elevated white blood cell counts.
Or lymphocytic leukemia.
Or lymphocytic leukemia, yes. Case.
Do you, in the investigative committee, there was some uncertainty. Do you recall recommending an abdominal ultrasound to the owner?
Yes, I do.
You do at this point? Okay. So you stated that it was your expectation that the owner would return for a recheck with Dr. McWhorter?
Yes.
Did you discuss that recheck with the owner?
I think I said she should be seen as soon as possible. Okay. And Dr. McWhorter would be in on Monday. It was Saturday. So Sunday is Dr. Burdick, and Monday is Dr. McWhorter, who's on Monday through Thursday.
And you were on Monday too?
I'm on Wednesday. At that time, I was on Wednesday through Saturday.
Okay, so you didn't work on that. Okay. So question, why would the recheck be with Dr. McWhorter and not you?
Because he was going to be there much sooner than I was going to be there.
Okay.
Yes, much sooner.
Okay. So after the conversation you had with the owner and you relayed the results and had a discussion, at this point in time, who was the primary doctor in this case?
Sadie was a client of, or a patient of the practice of Casa Grande Animal Hospital. But that being said, Dr. McWhorter is the only doctor who had ever seen her and physically examined her and treated her. So he's the primary doctor for her.
So in your view, he was the primary doctor?
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay. Last question. So you stated to the investigative committee, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, some doctors are easy to communicate with and some were not. So should we assume that in this case it was the latter?
That had been my experience. But things are changing.
Okay.
For the better. Which
at this point in time.
At this point in time, things are changing.
I don't have any other questions.
Any other board members have questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Maher, can you please elaborate on or respond to one of the findings of the investigative committee that said, in this case, the pet suffered based on the mishandling of the case. Dr. Maher did not realize the dog was an intact female.
Yes, ma'am. I did have the record in front of me, so I did have access to the fact that she was a female and that she had a high white blood cell count. But in my mind, I wouldn't think that a pet for sure had pyometra unless I had access to imaging for that pet. So, and I think the pet had a timeline that didn't start with me, a timeline of delay that didn't start with my phone call. So So for me, imaging and diagnostics were the next logical step to confirm what the pet had or didn't have. And until that could be done, then I didn't have a diagnosis over the phone.
Could I jump back in? In the investigative committee, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe you said you were proceeding with the assumption that the dog was staying, was intact.
I don't remember saying that, but if I did say that, then, yeah.
Yeah. Again.
Yeah, I defer to your records.
Any other questions? Board members?
So just to clarify, you had not done a physical exam of this patient at all?
No, I had never touched the pet.
I'd just like to make a comment. Yeah, her role in this was limited to the 3 to 5 minute phone call where she called to convey lab results. She had a stack of files to call the owners and give them the information on the lab results. And along those lines, in her contemporaneous medical record for the 11:50 a.m. phone call and follow-up to Dr. Nosley's concern, it specifically said in the medical record, recommended abdominal ultrasound. So it was discussed in the medical record. Thank you.
All right, seeing no more questions, we'll now hear from the plaintiff. You may step back. Ms. Plankton, do we have a complaint here? Would you care to address the board? Please state your name for the record.
Taylor Haskin.
Thank you.
Can you please speak into the microphone?
Let me get a little closer here. Is this better?
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to swear you in now. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Thank you. And you are the complainant in this case, correct?
Yes.
We've read the materials you've provided, and you may address the board.
I would like to clarify the timeline and some of the facts in this case. For the board, Dr. McWhorter states that the blood work was initially declined. It was not declined. My mother took Sadie in on my behalf because I had to work. So she had to check with me to make sure that that's something that I wanted to go through with before accepting anything. As I was going to be the one paying and Sadie was my responsibility. So when my mother called me to tell me that that was the recommendation, I told her to go ahead with it. And that is when we called the Casper Grande Animal Hospital back to let them know that we did want to move forward with doing the blood work. And we agreed to the blood work that same day. When the blood work was received, it was interpreted by Dr. Maher. She stated that Sadie either had a serious infection or cancer, but she felt that it was most likely cancer and she was very sorry and that she never likes to deliver this news to owner. The only follow-up that she suggested to my mother was to try antibiotics in case of an infection. An ultrasound was not mentioned during that phone call. We agreed to pick up her medication to try the antibiotics that she suggested. Sadie's Casper Grande Animal Hospital was closed on Monday for Labor Day. On Tuesday, due to Dr. Mayer's statement regarding cancer, I did call Casper Grande Animal Hospital back to see what I needed to do to get Sadie further treatment. I assumed this would be with a veterinary oncologist due to the assumption of cancer. I was told that I could call the location of the veterinary oncologist that I would like her to see to make an appointment, and when they sent a records request that they would send that over. I did call Arizona Veterinary Oncology to inquire about an appointment for treatment and was told that I would need a official diagnosis, including staging and typing, before they would make an appointment. And that is when I called Casgrain Animal Hospital back to inquire about getting an official diagnosis for her, so that I could get her an appointment for treatment with the oncologist. And that is when I was informed that an ultrasound had been suggested, and that was from Dr. McWhorter, going over Dr. Mayer's notes and giving us a call back based on those notes. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Do any board members have questions for the complainant?
I think you answered my questions regarding the blood work, the initial blood work. Thank you. I don't have any other questions.
I do have a question. So, is your mother here too or no?
She's not.
Okay. So when Dr. Maher called with the blood work results, she spoke with you or spoke with your mother?
She spoke with my mother because I was at work.
Okay, okay. And so you got the information from what your mother told you about cancer and all that?
Yes, she received a call from Dr. Maher and then she immediately called me at work.
Okay, so she was relaying the information?
Yes.
But she didn't at that point mention anything about an ultrasound to you? She just mentioned cancer?
Yes.
Okay. That's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Any other board members have any questions? Seeing none, give me a step back. Thank you. Dr. Maher, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you'd like to ask?
I've just got a brief comment. I think the concern in this case, as it relates to Dr. Maher, was of the communications nature. And if there was any breakdown in communication, I think it was between the mother and the daughter with regard to the ultrasound. Again, as Dr. Wright pointed out, Dr. Maher did not speak to the complainant in this case. The information that the complainant got, that is the basis of her complaint with respect to the phone call, was all filtered through her mother. So I think what happened here is that the mother did not mention the ultrasound and did not accurately convey the conversation. And that's not Dr. Maher's fault or responsibility. And for the record, if you look, the named owner of the pet is the mother, not the complainant. And Dr. Maher assumed that she was speaking to the person that was responsible for the owner of the pet and the one that was responsible for making the medical decisions. She adequately conveyed the seriousness of the situation. She made the appropriate recommendation for an immediate ultrasound. It's noted in the medical record, and we therefore submit that this complaint should be dismissed with no violation. Is there anything you wish to add?
I wish the communication had been better or clearer and that we were all on the same page.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any more questions from board members? None? All right. Let me step back. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. And Dr. Nosley, you are the lead.
Yeah. Thank you. I think it's unfortunate that we didn't hear from Dr. McWhorter first, since it started with his exam. Looking at this case, it all revolves around the 9-4 conversation that the respondent had with the owner. The respondent seems to indicate that she emphasized infection in this case, and the complainant believed that they heard cancer was the primary thing. Dr. Maher's chart notes, they don't mention infection, and they only show cancer written in caps. Secondly, that when Dr. McWhorter read that chart and reviewed it, it seems to also be his impression from Dr. Maher's notes. And the only evidence I see for her thought process being infection as the primary concern seems to be solely based on her prescribing antibiotics. That's all I see. And we also have the owner's subsequent actions regarding the seeking of an oncology consultation. I think there were some definite problems with this conversation. There was a disconnect between the doctor and the owner regarding the tentative diagnosis. We also have the failure. There's been some discussion here that maybe it's a little different from what it was in the investigative committee. A failure to recognize that this was an intact female. And I really think there was a misinterpretation of the CDC in this case. So I'd like to hear from the other board members, their impression on these things. And go from there.
Yeah, so it's obvious that the punch was missed. But the question is where do the faults lie? Where are the issues going on here? There's definitely problems, and
right.
it's which doctor do we trace it back to?
Right.
And I'm having a harder time with the recommendation from the IC at this point because, again, this is just a phone call. And this is a phone call where only one half of the conversants are here right now. So we're relying on hearsay for the second one, saying that no ultrasound was talked about, that there's nothing there.
Okay.
And I can honestly see a misinterpretation, not anything malicious, but if someone's telling you there's two options, either an infection or cancer, you're forgetting about infection if you're not a doctor. I mean, in this case, the infection is more life-threatening, but you hear the word cancer, that's what you're focused on every single time. Cancer is just a horrible word. So I think it's very hard for us to say that an infection was, in all ultrasound, all stuff was not discussed in the conversation, especially when we're not here to testify saying, no, that was definitely not talked about, only cancer was. Like I said, there's some issues with the notes, and I mean, are they as detailed as you'd want? No, but I'm seeing Dr. Maher getting thrown into a situation and trying to make a phone call and help her associate or her fellow doctor, and now is bearing the brunt of that because she's relying on his examination findings without actually doing an exam on her own. Yes, there's an infection. I mean, pyometra is the first thing I would think about in any older dog that has this. Even if they're spayed, I'm still like, well, what if something was left in?
Stump.
I talk about, stump pyometra. Is there anyone in the house that has possible estrogen or testosterone creams that they're using that the dog could get? I mean, just because they're spayed doesn't mean you're not going to have something going on there. So yes, I mean, I just look at this blood work, and that's the first place my brain goes to. And the fact that it was missed is my major issue.
Sure.
But again, the exam wasn't done by Dr. Maher. The exam was done by another doctor, which we haven't interviewed yet. I'm really concerned about treatment course. I mean, I don't even know what considerations were made during that exam.
Yeah.
And that's my major fault. So I think Dr. Maher is working off of a lot of faulty information here. And I don't know if we can say she truly missed something here, at least to the level of where we're at here. I mean, there's more consideration, but I mean, I think we probably did talk about an ultrasound. We did talk about an infection because, I mean, there's definitely antibiotics that are prescribed. We're not doing that just for cancer alone. So there's definitely, I don't know if there was a full meeting of the minds there, but even all the minds that did meet aren't even here today to testify. So this is a really hard conversation, a really hard case, and I do see problems with it, but I don't necessarily see problems on Dr. Maher's end, personally. So I don't know what else thinks at this point.
You respond to that.
Yeah,
I appreciate everything you're saying. I'd like to focus, though, on this, on our differential here.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a case of pyometra. We can do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got otherwise a case of cancer and neoplasia. I think the onus is on the doctor to make clear, I have concerns that this dog has infection and we need to pursue that.
Yeah.
I think it would be, the onus would be on the doctor to make sure this person I'm talking to understands that on one hand, I've got a treatable,
right.
On the other hand, I've got probably a not treatable. And so I think just saying, I heard cancer, so I'm not hearing everything else. I think it's the responsibility of the doctor to make sure that that owner does not going to focus on it.
Yeah, and I agree with you there, but the problem is we don't have the other witness to interview.
Right.
So we can't rely on your testimony. We can't rely on hearsay saying that an ultrasound was not talked about because my mom didn't tell me an ultrasound was talked about.
But we do have some things in the record and in the documentation and the investigating committee.
Yeah, no, and it's very obvious that a pyometer was missed, but I'm like, but for just a few minute phone call, I mean, can we lay this all on Dr. Maher's doorstep? And she's relying on an exam from a previous doctor that there was failings in that exam.
So, and there is a definite difference between the investigative committee and this, was the dog spayed or not, and whether the doctor knew it and how she was proceeding. There's a definite difference there.
So, yes.
Does that change your view?
Not in relation to Dr. Maher's case. Like, because this is a phone call conversation.
She didn't know.
Yeah.
The record states that Dr. Porter did.
But she didn't do a physical exam either. She's relying on the documentation.
But it's not a physical exam. It's a signalment.
No, I know, but she didn't do anything with the patient other than make a phone call. She never saw the patient.
But she had the signal.
No, I understand that, but I'm just like, is this, I mean, I can't see this being a major problem on her end. I definitely see there's a problem in the case, but she just made a phone call on the blood work, prescribed antibiotics, and recommended, based on her testimony, additional testing.
Sure.
That's good.
And I think the investigative committee was, at some point in time, let's go on this case. There's a problem, let's get in here.
Yeah. But I'm just not seeing that problem here. I see a problem with the case, but I don't see a problem on her aspect of the case. Is there better communication? Well, I'm a little concerned that she's afraid to deliver a bad diagnosis to a client. That's our job. We didn't give that dog cancer. We didn't give that dog a pyometra. We probably told you, spay that dog when it's a puppy so it doesn't get pyometra later in life.
Right.
So it's not our fault to relay bad information. It's not fun, but we should never have a problem doing that because that's when other issues come in.
That pushes,
so that's my concern. But otherwise, beyond communication, I don't see an issue.
That pushes the focus to cancer, is my concern.
The word cancer pushes the focus to cancer in most clients, in my experience. But even still, a doctor having that kind of trepidation, I have concerns with that. But that's all around communication. That's not around the medical stuff. And I don't even know if that's a true violation. That's just more, get some confidence.
Mr. Chairman, I have some questions of the veterinarians on the board who were engaged in this discussion. When a veterinarian is solely looking at lab results, do they also have the patient's record to consider when they're coming up with a diagnosis?
Oh, you should, yeah. You better. I would hope you'd have all that stuff. 100%.
Thank you. So it wasn't just the blood results?
And the exam findings?
Right.
Yeah.
It was the entire record.
Which, again, it'd be nice to have that exam done before this one, because
it would have been nice
I'm
to
really
go
concerned
there
about
or,
that depot hydral injection. Where the heck did that come from?
Yes, I said that.
So that's scaring me.
A dog coming in with drinking a lot, not doing right, and we're going to give a depot hydral injection.
Yeah, so she was kind of set up for failure here, in my opinion.
Is Dr. McWhorter available?
So, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if Mark wants to chime in on this. Since we realized he didn't come today, could we ask, do we know if Dr. McWhorter is aware of the informal hearing today?
He was, when I went to the practice this morning, he was at the practice working. As far as I know, he's aware.
Okay. We have a question, because since I'm looking today, I do have a certified mail receipt that it was received. However, it is a little concerning. It says that the weight was 4 pounds, 10 ounces, and it was probably, you know, an envelope with 5 pieces of paper in it. And the zip code is wrong, and it says it was delivered to a front desk mail room when it was actually a home address. So we have had a lot of problems with the U.S. mail. So I have some concern that perhaps he never got the notice. So I don't know, you know, she seems to believe that he knows, so I don't know how you want to handle that.
Understanding that this may not be the most convenient thing for Dr. Maher and her counsel, can we pen this until next month and reach out to Dr. McWhorter?
Normally I would say I wouldn't support that, because again, if they don't want to show up, they don't have to show up. There's nothing saying you have to be here, but
right.
It sounds like
it
there
sounds
could be
like,
some issues.
Yeah.
So I think that would not be a bad thing. I mean, I don't know if it's going to change a whole lot of what my thoughts are here. I mean, but you never know without getting the information, because again, what her case is in front of us. I mean, if he screwed up on his portion of the case, which I'm not saying he did at this point, but I mean, if he did, she's still reliant on that screwed up portion to carry out her diligence, which already, again, sets her up for failure. So she basically saw this blood work, maybe recommended ultrasound, maybe didn't, prescribed antibiotics, so she had consideration for an infection. I'm not seeing the elevation, the level of problems with her involvement here. It's a bad case, but I'm laying this all more on the feet of the original doctor, the only doctor that saw it.
And did the exam.
Yeah.
And I will say that when I was reviewing the record, I made a faulty error. I assumed that the dog was spayed because it did come from a shelter. And by statute, they're supposed to be altered leaving
yeah,
a shelter.
True.
So that was just something that I came across when I was reviewing the record.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, a lot of people assume animals are spayed.
Yeah.
That's kind of the default anymore.
Yeah.
If we were in Europe, it'd be a different story. But the
right.
default is that most animals are spayed as they get older. And that's a failing. And that's definitely something we have to look at. But yeah, I mean, pyometry is always in the front of my mind because that's an easy fix when you catch it early most of the time. And you look awesome. It's like, let's go do surgery and the dog's better. Yay. So, I mean, it's one of those things that if you catch it early, they can have problems, but they tend to do very well. And it was missed here, and that was the major problem.
Okay, I have a follow-up question,
yeah.
Dr. Wright. Was the antibiotic that was prescribed appropriate for treating pyometra?
Yeah, Baitrol and Amoxiclav are going to cover the spectrums for pyometras. There is, if you look at reproductive medicine, because most vets are reproductive medicine experiences, let's spay and neuter. But I mean, you look at the actual true reproductive people, if you have an open pyometra, you can treat them in some cases, get them bred on the next heat cycle, and that pyometra will clear up. If it's open, if that pus is not building up in a big balloon that's exploding the belly. If you're going to go into that protocol, then yeah, these are good antibiotics for that protocol. So yeah, those are very appropriate for a pyometra. Now, with a closed pyometra, now it's not going to help.
Yeah, closed. Most of the time when these are cultured, they're E. coli, so very appropriate antibiotics. I probably would have gone on the high end of the Baitrol.
Yeah.
That's really nitpicky.
Thank you.
How much we might open it?
Oh, the cervix. Is the cervix open?
Okay.
So that pus can come out, so
okay.
It's not backfilling, or
right.
Is it closed? If it closes, it can explode.
That's what I was imagining.
Sorry.
I need to make sure.
No, I
okay.
appreciate
that. No, I guess that's all. I guess I'm not. You two are odd. Right?
Well,
I mean,
I don't know.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Yes and no.
Partially ish.
Let's wait and see. What
yeah,
happens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you boil down to the basics, if you just looked at the CBC, you're most, I would think it was probably an infection with a left shift back metamelocytes.
Yeah.
And it was put on antibiotics, regardless of the source of the infection.
Yeah, and that's where, you know.
That was certainly appropriate.
And if she
yeah.
didn't see the dog, she ran out and source out the infection
yeah.
as well as she could have if she had seen it.
Because if she did the exam, maybe she would have noticed the mammary glands were bigger,
yeah.
like you would expect to see if they're in a pyometra or a heat cycle, or they've just gone through heat cycles before. I mean, you're going to see telltale signs on a physical exam of, is this dog spayed, or was it spayed later in life, or what? But again, she didn't have the benefit of an exam. She's just reading blood work, going off of this other doctor's notes, and she kind of got
a
bit of a rock and hard.
She's making
and
a diagnosis.
Well, yeah,
that.
But and that conversation, again, we don't have the second part of the conversation. So that's another crux of it. It's like, we don't know what was truly said. And was this not said? Was it said and just not focused on? I mean, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not blaming the mother by any means. That's not what I'm getting at. But conversations are hard. I mean, we see it all the time, and not everything is heard, especially in medicine. I mean,
right.
We're here throwing around open and closed pyometra. They didn't know what that meant.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of assumptions we make sometimes where we don't bring the level down to the client's level. I mean, we don't need using our,
to the clients.
Yeah, we don't need using our $20 Greek and Latin words that just are going to make us sound smart. So, like I said, she was just, I feel bad for Dr. Maher because, like I said, I think that from what I'm seeing here, she was going down that road. Again, the ultrasound, I have to believe that it was talked about, but even if it wasn't, we were still approaching this as an infection, and she did what she was supposed to do, for in my mind.
Yeah, it was a bit of a perfect storm.
Yeah.
She didn't see the dog. It was Saturday. It was Labor Day weekend, and the primary that was would have normally done the communication was not there because it was a holiday. So.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly,
in a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, let's say she wasn't nice to make that phone call, and she was like, no, it's that doctor's case. We're not here today.
Right.
So she tried to kind of step in and help. And right. Yeah, that does bring an onus on you to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But she tried to do the right thing to help that patient. I mean, another 2 days of antibiotics would have survived surgery.
And just as a clarification for you, I noticed that you're getting kind of hung up on like, she's making a diagnosis without seeing a PET.
Yeah.
When you have multiple doctors in a practice, it is not uncommon for another doctor to review lab results from a patient that they may not have seen and try to relay that information and try to come up with a diagnosis based on, like Dr. Wright said, looking at the notes from the previous doctor. So that in itself is, that's a normal thing to have happen.
Well, especially when you're seeing something like this, I mean, your technicians are typically getting these blood results back in, and they're to see all that red and be like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have the doctor that's on right now look at that, not let's put it in the file for this other doctor who'll be back in 3 days. So, like I said, the technician, again, did their due diligence mm-hmm. probably and brought that to the attention of the doctor saying, hey, we need to probably look at this. I don't know if that's what happened or not, but again, she, even if that's not what happened, she saw it and was like, we've gotta do something for this patient. I don't know anything about it, but I would also prescribe antibiotics in that case and say, hey, you either need to come back in or go to urgent care or something. But again, it sounds like she did what she could do with what she had available to her. And that's where I'm just, yes, there's problems with this case, and we'll get into it with the next one, but I can't bring myself to see major problems on her end of this.
Okay, so somebody can step up and make a motion. And then somebody gonna have the sixth and second.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we adopt the investigative committee's recommendation and find violation ARS 32-22-32-11 gross negligence, failure to identify the dog was an intact female, possibly had pyometra, failure to relay to the pet owner the seriousness of the dog's blood results, and not recommending the dog be brought back for reevaluation, and failure to communicate with the associates the seriousness of the dog's condition and ensure the proper follow-up and care of the patient.
Second.
We have a motion on the floor and a second to find the violations recommended by the investigative committee. Is there any further discussion? I'm torn, and I'm leaning towards that side of it is, if you got a piece of paper and that's all you got in the record, and the record's not as good as it needs to be, what else can you do?
Well, let me ask the other doctors, if you were involved in a round situation, you were talking about this case, you have you haven't examined the dog, and I agree, most of the time that's paramount. But if you have this information in front of you, the signal went, and that CBC, are you gonna go antibiotics? What would be your interpretation? It would be, in my opinion, wherever this dog needs to get in now, mm-hmm. and now for surgery.
I don't know if I could say surgery. Like I said, I would be looking at pyometra, but I mean, I think the dog needs to get in for additional testing or additional something.
Confirm that with imaging.
Yeah, I think there would be more going on there.
Okay.
Like I said, but yeah, the antibiotics I think would be a standard thing, and then
pyometras are often done at night.
The surgeries?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't got one in the morning, so it's kind of sad.
No, that's all
I'm
saying.
Yeah,
we have a case like this with this signalment, this history, this laboratory results. We need to confirm now. We need to go to surgery now.
Yeah, I don't know what my panic zone necessarily is for the level of white blood cell elevation, but 70,000 is definitely well within that.
And now we're several days later.
Yeah. So yeah, no. So yeah, there's definitely there, but again, that goes back to the crux of did we talk about it or not?
Right.
That's where it gets hard.
Okay.
All right. Now you got me back right in the middle again.
Clear as mud, just as clear.
No, I mean, That makes.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a good argument.
No, it makes sense.
It is. This is a very difficult.
That makes sense, and as a layperson, me looking at that.
Right.
Yeah, I see the red, and I see there's a problem. Do I know how acute that problem is? No. I just know it's red. So that's why we rely on you, and you guys rely on me for, I don't know what, smart aleck comment. Stories about cattle, I guess. All right, so we have a motion on the floor.
Second.
And a second. Find the violations that the investigative committee found. Same violations.
Unanimously approved. Yes.
Any other? Any other discussion? Let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Nay.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Mr. Lohe?
I'm not ready. Can I go last? No. I'm going to nay.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Nay.
And Dr. Wright is a nay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. We have a split. Dr. James is not here. So when it's a even, which we haven't had that in a long time, it loses, right? Yeah. So the motion fails.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, can I reiterate my suggestion from previously that we continue this until next month, and hoping that Dr. McCorvey will be here and that will shed some additional light on this. I apologize for any inconvenience that might cause, but I think it would answer a lot of the questions.
So keeping it open.
Yes.
This case.
Yes, until Dr. McCorvey comes, because they're tied together, so intricately tied together.
For sure.
So I will make that motion that we pen this case until next month when Dr. McCorvey can appear.
I guess where Dr. Wright and I are coming from is that communication piece, and is any information that the other doctor going to provide going to change that based on that we're looking at the blood results in the phone call? And I hear you, Dr. Nisley, where yes, that should be on your differential list, but also, again, hearsay on the conversation between the owner. Ultrasound, additional imaging was recommended, and based on testimony, I believe she stated that it was recommended to bring the pet in if it wasn't doing well. So, like, those bases are covered. Maybe there was a communication in the urgency of those things being done, but that communication was there. So I don't know if that extra insight from the doctor who saw it the day before, who was not part of that conversation, is going to lend any more objectivity to this decision.
It's also, in my opinion, the communication between the two veterinarians.
But I'm not sure that there was communication between the two veterinarians.
That's what we need to verify, I think.
But then again, do you go back to the primary veterinarian or what? But yeah, I don't know if like I said, I think we're probably going to find some issues in the next one, we might guess. But
right.
I don't know if it's going to clarify anything here, per se. Like I said, because we have all the information for this case here. We know the pyometer was missed. It's just, where was it missed? And was, like I said, was the initial information enough for her to make a proper diagnosis or to even interpret everything properly or not? And I don't know if his testimony is going to really do anything to change her case. I mean, it could to change his, but I think we have all the facts on hers personally. But of course, you made a motion, so
yes,
we'll see.
I made
what
a motion that could die for lack of a second.
And it will in 3, 2. Keep you a little long. Is there a second?
No. I'll second.
We have a second to pen 2226 until next month, or until we have the informal for 2225.
Yes.
I Any discussion? I guess I'm still leaning towards something, but not gross negligence.
Maybe additional information coming forward next month might help resolve some of the unanswered questions.
No, I guess I just didn't.
So this case is wholly centered around like a few minute phone call, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is we have all the information on this case. We're not bringing all the information on the rest of the case, the entire patient's case. But I mean, this particular portion of it, it was just a phone call. That's all it was. So like I said, we have all the information on that particular phone call at this point that we can have. Like, so we don't have the testimony of the mother, but that's not the doctor's fault for that.
Well, it also was the analysis of the test results.
Even if we did, right?
Yes,
we don't have
it's
a recording
still,
of the conversation.
Right, yeah.
So it's always weighing,
right.
He said, she said.
That's,
right. That's why it's good to look them in the eye and have that experience. But either way, it's still a balance there. So I don't even necessarily think that is the case. I guess I don't see the.
I mean, if anything, I'm looking at either communications issues or a letter of concern. That's as much as I can wrap my head around.
Yes, do we look at a communication piece and trying to, you know, make sure that we're sending that message of the urgency of an issue? Yes, it's horrible to deliver bad news, but that is part of our job. Like getting more comfortable with having those types of conversations. But I agree, I'm not quite sure the gross negligence is.
That just seems like a lot.
Was there some indication that I missed that Dr. Maher said when she said possible infection that it was pyometra?
I don't see anything in the testimony that talked about pyometra specifically.
Yeah, that was my question. And wouldn't that, going on what Dr. Nosley said earlier, wouldn't that tend to pop up to the top of the, or near the top of the differential list?
Members of the board, we do have, you know, the discussion on the motion to pen this.
Okay. You know, oh, yeah.
If it's successful to making your decision on the motion.
I don't think there was a second on that. So
yes.
There was a second. Oh, okay. Oh, so, yeah, I missed that part.
Dr. Wright, if we could pay a little bit more attention to the motion.
Please. Yeah, let's need to like throw stuff at me.
These are all the questions at the end of the year.
All right. So is there any discussion on the pending part of it? That why it should or should not pin it? If not, let's vote on that.
Thank you.
With a roll call.
Oh, roll call. Yeah. Dr. Byrne.
Nay.
Ms. Krieger?
Nay.
Ms. Frost?
Nay.
Mr. Lohi?
Nay.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Nay.
And Dr. Wright is a nay. The motion fails.
So I'd like to make another motion at this point. That we make a motion under, help me out, Alan, changing 32, 22, 32, the ethics one.
12.
That we issue a letter of concern.
You have to relate that to the
relate that one to the
here.
As it relates to R311501, veterinarians show respect for the veterinarian's coverage.
5011.
5011. Sorry, what did I say?
That's a, yeah, because it's a. Yeah.
No, I just
R311.
Yeah.
There's two ones.
Yeah. Veterinarians show respect for the veterinary's colleagues, the owner of an animal to whom veterinary medical services are being provided in the public through courteous verbal or written interchange, considerate treatment, professional appearance, professional acceptable procedures, and use of concurrent professional and scientific knowledge. And under that, I would list a failure to communicate with the associates the seriousness of the dog's condition, ensuring proper follow-up care of the patient. And again, failure to make sure that the owner understood the differential and that we needed to proceed in a different manner than ultimately is.
Mr. Chairman?
Very poorly worded.
Can I get a clarification? I thought he said a letter of concern and then he mentioned R311501.
No, it's not a letter.
Okay.
Like that's what I was getting, because you did say mention letter of concern. So did you want a violation or an actual letter of concern?
Letter, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, letter of concern.
Okay, so yeah. it just kind
so,
of.
So, yeah.
So in that
so if it's a letter of concern, we don't need to cite any.
Right.
Yeah. We don't cite.
We
yeah,
don't,
just, yeah.
We
so that's
don't,
a,
we don't
so
have clarified.
I appreciate your practice. Yeah, it's, because like I said, I agree with you on that, is I think it was there. I also would like to say that there was testimony that communication is improving in the hospital between the doctors. I don't think improving is enough. I think this would have to be drastically improved because it sounds like there's just a complete breakdown of communication in this. And if that is not resolved 100%, we will be back in this situation again, I'm guessing. So communication getting better is good, but yeah, this is all centered around communication right now and it's a letter of concern. And I would just like to say my piece on that is I wouldn't want to see slight improvement in communication in the hospital. Based on this, I better see drastic improvement.
So Dr. Nosley, members of the board, so my understanding is the motion is to dismiss it with a non-disciplinary letter of concern for the reasons articulated and not to find a violation.
Right, not a violation.
Thank you.
Sorry about the confusion.
No,
it's okay.
Okay, as stated.
I'll second.
And a second. I'm glad you two can finally agree.
Yes, we're besties, it's all good. So is that a roll?
Any further discussion?
I do have a question of staff. Who is the responsible veterinarian for the premises?
I would have to look at that real quick. That's a great question.
Yes,
Dr. Lorenzo
Fellini.
Who did the ultrasound?
And the surgery.
Oh, and the surgery, oh yeah.
What's
yeah.
the name of the hospital?
It's Casa Grande Animal Hospital.
Let me just double check.
Okay. We can still vote.
Casa Grande Animal Hospital is Dr. Metcalf. Dr. Metcalf is the responsible vet at Casa Grande Animal Hospital.
He was, but now it should be Dr. Fellini.
He still is.
He still is.
So you might want to let the hospital, who was ever in charge, know that Dr. Metcalf is still licensed.
Do we want to? Yeah, he retired.
Unless you want to be here till 8 o'clock every.
No, but honestly, I don't think it really matters who the responsible vet is.
No. If it's a process concern that you have,
yeah, unless they're open
to case.
But I mean, Dr. Metcalf can still stay. It's just Dr. Metcalf's responsible if something happens.
As long as he's still.
As long as he's licensed.
And he would be, or we would not.
Yeah. So I mean, there's no need to change it, but probably better to change it if he's retired. But I mean, unless we're opening the case, it doesn't necessarily matter.
And they don't have to work at the premises to be the license
yeah.
holder.
Okay.
All right, so motion on the floor.
Find
no violation to issue a letter of concern with the communications. Several aspects of the communication,
yeah.
All right. And we have a second. We're not finding a violation, so we could just do a yay or nay.
Or I think you might want to roll call.
It's not required, but given the history of the previous votes, it might be helpful.
I was about to say that. Thanks for cutting me out. No,
sorry.
All right, let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Sorry, aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Reznai, the motion carries.
You could just have a voice vote.
The board has voted to find no violation and issue a letter of concern. This concludes this matter, and Dr. Maher, you will receive written confirmation of the board's action shortly. If anyone has questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you all for participating today. Okay, and have we had an official vote to pen 2225?
Not yet.
We still need to do that.
Mr. Chairman, I move we pen 2225, informal interview, till next month, or until Dr. McCorder could attend.
No, it's next month.
Next month?
Yes, he can attend or not, but I think we're going to proceed.
Okay, next month.
He's scheduled.
He's going to second.
Oh, a second, sorry.
Motion for a second to pen.
Trying to speed things along.
The informal. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes, so we will pen that case till next month, and then what are we?
Skip down.
Right.
Okay.
It is not quite 2:30, 2:00.